Hello, everyone. Good morning. How are we doing? Doing pretty good. I'm very thankful to stand here before you guys today. And so, as some of you may know, and as mentioned, yes, I'm the new coordinator for the University Christian Ministries, and a lot of you guys have probably know or have had a lot communicated about UCM through Samuel. By a raise of hands, who here is connected with Samuel, knows Samuel Druin? Wow. Amazing. That's really awesome. And so it's been really cool for me. So I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a backstory with me. But first, like for anyone that doesn't know about UCM, a University Christian Ministry, so we're an on-campus group, Christian group that seek God every Thursday. And so we're there. We want to know God. We want to see him be known on campus. But our vision is to equip students to be Christian leaders in their families, in their workplaces, in their churches, and in their communities. And so it's been amazing for myself. I've actually been a part of UCM for my whole university life. So I graduated actually in June, so I did 5 years on campus. And so I actually joined late in my first semester, but I'll kind of get into that with my story in a little bit. But I got there when there was 10 to 20 people. And to this day, we're seeing now about 90 people every week that are coming out. Yeah. So God has been doing some amazing things, but I kind of want to let you guys know a little bit about me, because I think a lot of you are kind of like, who are you? Who is this new face? So I was born and raised in Nanaimo, so I'm an island boy. For myself, I've actually stayed with one church my entire life called Eagle Mountain Church. And what's actually really cool with that is my pastor, he was actually my kid's pastor. And so now it was really cool. So he brought me up in kids' church, and then when I was... I'm actually helping with the church there. I'm on the lead team, but now he's my lead pastor, and so I've been able to be mentored by him, but he's also been just kind of beside me throughout my life, which has been absolutely amazing for me. But so I've grown up in the church my entire life, and so I kind of believed in God my whole life, but not like, you know, it wasn't until it became really real when I was about 14. And I remember I was at a youth conference at our church, and I was standing there, and this youth pastor was preaching, and you know, afterwards he was like, "Hey, if you're interested, like, you know, I want to encourage you guys to come up front for prayer." And as he called that, I felt this tug on my heart. It was like a rope that was around my heart, literally, but just figuratively. And I was standing there, and I didn't know, like in Scripture it says, "You can only come to the Father if He draws you." And I'm standing there with my friends, and I'm pretty insecure, I'm not confident, I'm just kind of standing there like, oh my gosh, no one else is going up, I really feel like I need to go up front, but I don't want to, because no one else is, what are my friends going to think, you know, there's that fear of what are people going to think, right? And so I'm standing there, and I'm like, but I really feel like I need to go up front. And so, I'm kidding you not, I'm standing there by my friends, and I inch my feet, little bit by little bit, for like 5 minutes. To the point where I'm like 5 feet ahead of them. I'm like, okay, I should probably just walk up front. You know, I'm going to look really goofy if I don't. And so I did that. I don't remember what this pastor, youth pastor, prayed over me, but it was just as if Holy Spirit jumped on my life at that point. And from that day forward, there was this change in my heart. And I was like, okay, something's different. And then it was just okay. And now it's like, okay, I'm 14. I'm kind of more, a little bit more interested in God. And I'm like, okay, well, if people in my church have been saying, hey, this is what God's been speaking. This is things he's been sharing with me, like, you know, through this relationship. Well, it's like God doesn't favor one person over another. So I was like, well, okay, if you're speaking to them, well, like, you know, I believe you'll speak to me too, right? And I hope you guys believe that too. And so I remember I was there, and for me, I was very passionate about hockey. So I'm a sports guy. For my degree that I eventually did was sports, health, and physical education. So not a surprise. That's my biggest passion besides God. But as I'm playing hockey, God speaks to my heart one of the first times, and he was just like, Joel, you're going to get a breakaway. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm on the bench in the first period. And I'm just like, whoa, I heard the voice of God. I knew it was him. And I was just like, oh my gosh, okay, like this is going to happen. First period goes by, nothing happens. Second period goes by, nothing happens. Third period, I'm literally on the bench with 30 seconds left. Play is dead. It's in our own end. And usually, if you know hockey, your coach would call for a whole line to go out. But he called for just me to go out. And I was like, okay. So I go out there. Play resumes. We're going. 11 seconds left. I look at the clock. Still, I have not had a breakaway yet. Next thing you know, the other team has the puck. He goes to pass it, hits his buddy in the skates from the other team, goes through his legs, passes another opponent, and it comes to me on the point, and I skate down the ice in the last few seconds. Utterly missed the net, but it did not matter. God spoke to me. He didn't say I was going to score here, guys. He said I was going to get a breakaway. So, yes, I wish I did score, but you know what? I think I actually fanned on the shot and missed the net by quite a bit. But I walked away that day so excited because I was like, wow, God, I heard your voice. And it's so cool because that's what God's about. He's about relationship. He's not about religion. He's about a relationship. And that was something that he was like, I want to build that with you. And things that I've kind of shared with people before is like, think of it like a language, right? If you want to really learn a language, you need to spend time, like to really learn it fast. Like you want to go to that place where that language is spoken, be around those people, be around that culture, learn that language, right? And same thing with God. If you want to learn his language, you need to spend time with him. And so what happened was, like, you know, I got really excited about God. I was like, okay, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go to youth group all the time. But I never really got to know him through this when I was in high school, through the Word. I was just really excited about God. And I remember I went through high school. I was a very happy guy. But what happened was I kind of made this, pact or thing saying, okay, I'm not going to date throughout high school, because I was actually more just scared to ask a girl out. I was like, but the other part was that I was actually, okay, a friend of mine in the church was kind of like, this is something that I'm going to do. I'm going to set myself apart, so I'm not going to date throughout that. So that was another reason for me. So I was like, I'm not going to do this. And what happened was, so I ended up really liking this one girl in my grade 12 year, and she wasn't a Christian, but I seen her as the Christian of the non-Christians. And I remember I was in my bathroom. This is how nervous I was and how scared I was to kind of like talk to a girl. I'm in my bathroom, my parents' bathroom, on my phone, like, oh my gosh, should I text her? Because I want to talk to her. But I felt in my heart God say, if you go forward with this, your life's going to change in a negative way. And in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, it says, today I put before you life and death, blessings and cursings. But God's like, I'll give you the answer. Choose life. So that day God warned me. And he's like, Joel, if you go forward with this, your life's going to change in a negative way. But I was like, man, I have desires. I like her. And so I was like, I text her. And it led to me, like, communicating with her a lot to the point where it's like every day. I graduate, I start talking with her more. But I was like, you know, I made sure I communicated with her. Hey, like, you know, I'm Christian. Like, you know, like these are the things that I value, yada, 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 all this stuff. And then it was just like, over time, I just slowly started to see, because my foundation wasn't in the Word of God, I didn't really get to know him that much, that I was starting to slip a little bit. And I was like, okay, well, actually, maybe I will let these things that I value a lot slide a little bit. And then as I graduated, I was like, oh, well, now actually the thing of not dating is no longer there. So it was like, oh my gosh. And so long story short, we start dating. And I was very excited and nervous at the same time, because I never really had done that before. Gone down this road, you know, elementary school, you don't know what's going on. Now to this point, you can think a little bit more and understand a little bit better. But I was kind of, a little bit nervous with this. And I start this relationship with her, and I start to fall in love with her. But what happened was, she didn't really like what I was doing with youth group. She didn't like she said she was open to Christianity, but she didn't really like what I was doing. She didn't like what my youth pastor was teaching. And so we'd get into the, or she'd, you know, kind of communicate, and she'd be frustrated about this. And I didn't know how to take conflict. And so I kind of closed up a little bit. And I'd just be quiet and let her say her piece. But what happened was, because I started to fall in love with her, I wanted to make her happy. And so what I did at my own expense was I started to push myself away from church. I started to push myself away from my youth pastor, from anyone in my community that was Christian. And so at my own expense, in my own relationship with God, I put that to the side because I was falling in love with her with these desires and these feelings. And eventually that led to us dating for a year. And what happened was, after 6 months, it got very toxic. I ended up spending every single day with her. She became very controlling and possessive. I became not a good person because I didn't know. I was like, I want to end things. I don't know how to. I'm afraid to end things. I became like just cold-hearted, and I became very angry. There was points of rage that was there. There's tons of things that happened in that relationship that every single day we'd be fighting, and it was super toxic, and I couldn't handle it. It came to the point where I remember, we'd go for walks generally, and I was holding her hand, and it physically hurt my heart to do that. It takes a lot of pain to do that, a lot of hurt to get there, but I didn't know how to communicate myself, how to communicate certain feelings. And so eventually got to the point where my first night away from her, I go home, And my mom and my dad, like, you know, they've been upset because they've been in the church the whole time. They didn't know, hey, what's going on with you, right? Like, I'm home for like 5 minutes at a time, and I'm gone. And so they don't really know what's happening in my life, and it's been really bothering them. And so they held on to some words that the Lord had given them through people and whatnot, like, trust, like, Joel's going to come back. God's going to get him. And I remember I came home the one night because I was like, I forced her. I was like, hey, you have to go. You're graduating. It's dry grad. They do fun things. Like, you need to go. It's like an all-nighter. I have my first night away from you. I didn't say that to her. But it was like, I said, you need to go. Like, actually, and so I go home, and I talk to my mom, and I open up to her for the first time in months. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. I'm like, I'm hurt. I miss my family. I miss my church. I miss a lot of things. And it was interesting because with that, I shared with her, hey, I had this dream like months ago while I was with her. I was like, I had this dream where I saw my youth pastor and he came in and he embraced me and he gave me this hug and he said, welcome back. And I shared that with her and she's like, really? Because like that was the exact same dream that he had, my youth pastor had for me. So the very next day, I actually go and I end things with her. And that led to the worst week of my life at that point. And so that was really hard for me. Every part of my body felt like I needed to be with her, but I knew I couldn't. And so then that summer, I was kind of working, and it was leading up actually to university. And so I actually got into depression. I was working at Quality Foods for 6 years, and so I was working in the meat department at that time. And so I'd work from 11 o'clock in the morning till 8 at night. And I found that I would stay up till 2 in the morning. And then what would happen is then I would wake up for, say, 10 o'clock and then just repeat throughout the whole summer. And I wasn't really hanging out with anyone. So that didn't really help my situation. I tried to go back to church. There wasn't any fire in me. And I was like, I just didn't really feel like I was reconnecting. And so that was kind of my issue at that point. But now September hits. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go and try engineering because that's something that I was encouraged to do. And so I hop into engineering and I don't know anyone. And I find out 3 weeks into the program, I have no passion for what I am doing. I'm there on the weekend working on a project, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is so dry to me. This is really cool. Like, this is awesome stuff that we get to, like, think and invent and do this kind of stuff. But I'm like, this is not, like, I just don't feel like this is where I'm supposed to go in my life. And so after that project happened, I was like, okay. Like, I made sure I finished with them. I wasn't going to leave them dry with that. But I was like, okay, I'm going to drop that. And I ended up plugging into the University Christian Ministries, actually, in my first semester. I found out about them through a coworker, and at that time, I was still very broken in my life. Like, my heart was shattered. There was lots of things that were going on in my heart that I didn't know of, lots of things that I suppressed. But I went there. So, actually, is anyone here feeling a little bit broken in this season at all? Not, wow, we got one? Good. It's like, God, no, it's not good, but it's like, God is with you, though. In that. Know that God is with you in that. He sees where you are, and that's even in Psalms. He's like, he's close to the brokenhearted. We need to know that. Is that there are seasons that we go through, and sometimes we walk through brokenness. It's not fun. But God's with you in that. He's really close to you in that. And so what happened was I come into this community, and it's really small. As I mentioned, it was like 10 to 20 people that were there. And it was crazy because I come in, and I'm really shy. I'm like, I don't know anyone here. I mean, only one person that brought me. But then there's this one guy that comes there, and he's just like exuberant. Like, he's everywhere, and he's just hugging people. Like, welcome, like, come on in, like, all these things. I'm like, whoa, like, who are you? And it was interesting because that semester and that year, he was teaching on learning to love yourself as God sees you. And this was the first guy in my entire walk. So I'm about 19 at this point, 18, 19. And he's the first guy that I ever met in my Christian walk that actually had this sense of freedom in his life. He didn't care what other people thought. There was this freedom. But not only that, he loved every single person that walked in the room. And I was like, what the heck? In other words, I was like, what's wrong with you? Right? Yeah. You don't see many people like that in the world. Like, in a way, I'm like, but it's like, I was like, what the heck? Like, who are you, right? But this guy, he started to invest in my life. He started to pour into my life. And what he was teaching that semester, like, I needed to hear what he was sharing about God's love, about his forgiveness, about these things. And I was like, okay, well, if this is true of what you're saying, I need to find out myself. And so, as I had mentioned earlier, I was like, when I was younger in high school, I never really cracked this thing open. I never really was like, hey, God, I want to know you. And so at this point, because I was so broken, I was like, God, I don't want to be the same. I don't want this brokenness anymore. I want what you've paid for. And so I remember I started to go to the secret place in my bedroom with God at night, and I began to pray, and I began to offer him my heart. And I was like, God, do whatever you want to do. I don't want to be the same, but I offered him my heart, and I was like, I need to know you, though. AJ, the guy who was sharing these things and the things that I've been learning, if these things are true, I need to know for myself. And I'd crack the word open. I began to read it, and I just like started to fall in love with the word of God. And it was crazy because I was depressed. I was not happy. There was no joy, stress. There was a whole bunch of things that were there. And within a few months, my life was radically different because every single night I began to spend with God. I began to read his word, and I seen him totally just change my life around. Instead of depression, there was now joy. Instead of unrest, there was peace. And it was amazing because then I started to see the miraculous side of God too. I was like, whoa, I'd read his word, and you know, his word says in James, like, don't just like listen to his word, like act. Faith without works is what? Dead. That's right. And so it's like, if we don't do anything with our faith, don't expect anything to happen. So I began to be like, okay, God, if this, like, for example, his word says, lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. I was like, okay, God, if this is what your word says, I'm gonna go do it. And for like months and months and months, I began to lay my hands on people and like, can I pray for you? What's going on? You have an injury or something, you have pain? Like, I'm gonna pray for you. Didn't see change happen. And then, this one day at church, a good friend of mine who's there, Francisco, he was just like, hey, Joel, I want you to pray for this lady. She has like crazy amount of pain in her ankle, and like 9 out of 10, she broke her ankle 2 years prior to that, and her knees were bothering her. And I was like, okay, sure, I'll pray for her. I'll go down, and I'm like praying for her ankle, just her ankle. I prayed for her 3 times, like the pain kept going down. After the 3rd time, the pain was completely gone. Her ankle was totally healed, and her knees got healed in the process. I didn't even pray for that. Yeah. God's good, right? And so I was like, oh my gosh, like God, you did that. I was like, you did that. I was like, oh my gosh. So it's like the thing is that with our faith, we need to make sure we put it into action. It can't stay within. We learn these great things. Like Joe, he's preaching to you guys. You have other people that come and they preach great things. It can't just stay here. It needs to go out. It says that we've been given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. They're here to equip you guys to do the work of ministry. And so it's like as you learn those things, as God equips you in those things, it's meant for you to go out and then go and test that on people. Love it on people. And it was so cool because that was the beginning of me starting to see that almost in my daily life of praying for people. And so what was really exciting for me was that I was like, man, I started to see my life really just change. And what happened was then, the leader the next year, my second year of university, I switched programs into sport, health, and physical education. And he was like, Joel, he's like, I want you to consider joining on the leadership team with the University of Christian Ministries. And I was like, are you sure about that? I'm like, I literally have no leadership experience in my life. Absolutely not. I've played on sports teams, and some people have said, man, you got a gift of leadership or something, like you can lead. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not talking very loud. I'm like, I just lead by action. That's my main thing. It's like, I'll go out there, I'll work hard, I'll do what's needed. I'll lead by action in that way. But I'm like, I wasn't super confident in like communicating certain things. But I was like, okay, if that's something, I'll give this a go. I'll give this a shot. And it was amazing because that led to the next 4 years of my life at serving at UCM. I began to serve as a student leader, and it was amazing the amount of challenges that came from it, but how much it actually grew me as a leader. And it's like exactly what the vision is for UCM, is to equip students to be Christian leaders. I didn't know how much actually I'd be equipped. And it was amazing because I found within my first year there, I was like, man, I'm investing, I'm praying, I'm sharing with people about God, and what I value so much is his word, because it says the truth will set you free. And so I'm like, man, we need to know this, because not just know it needs to be heart knowledge. It can't just be in the head, it needs to be heart, because when we catch the heart knowledge of it, that's when people get set free. And so for me, I value the truth so much, because that is something that helps us get to know God. And so as I started to like get to like share with people and all these things, like I struggled to see that other times, you know, people are just kind of, they still go off and do their own thing, doing the worldly stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm just frustrated by this. I'm like, man, God, I'm pouring into them. I'm doing all these things, but they're still doing the same thing. Like, what's going on? Like, has anyone been frustrated before by, you know, you've invested in someone, you've mentored with someone, and they just keep doing the same thing, like, over and over again? Well, I got an encouragement for you. Because I was, like, praying. I was like, God, I'm frustrated. Like, this is annoying. Like, I want, we're called to be ambassadors for Christ. And I'm like, we're called to shine our light in a certain way. And it was really interesting. So then God, as I'm praying, he brings me to Psalms 78. I'm not going to read the whole thing for you guys because it's a long psalm, but what the gist of it is God's like, he's talking about the people of Israel, the Israelites, and what happens is the Israelites, you know, they're God's people, and so like, you know, they're for God, they're doing things, but then their heart turns. They turn away from God. They want to do their own stuff. They keep doing that. They keep going away, and then God's patient with them, but eventually he gets a little bit angry, and then he's like, okay, you guys can have what you guys want. Have your own desires. Have the results of your desires. And then when they start getting the results of that, they're like, oh my gosh, God, we need you, we need you, we need you. And they come back, and then, oh, then they leave him again. And it's just this back and forth, right? But at the end, it's amazing. He said here, he chose his servant David in verse 70 of chapter 78. He chose his servant David, calling him from the sheep pens. He took David from tending the ewes and the lambs and made him the shepherd of Jacob's descendants, God's own people, Israel. He cared for them with a true heart and led them with skillful hands. And I think another translation, he was called to lead them with integrity. And it was interesting because what God spoke to me and through that was that he's like, Joel, it's like you don't have control of what people do. But the thing is you're called to lead. You're called to shepherd my people. Know that they have a choice of what they do. They might go the one way or the other, but you're called to lead with integrity. You're called to lead them with skillful hands. You're called to love them. And it was interesting because it was just like what was a frustration there was just it began to be wiped away of, wow, okay, I don't have control over what they're doing, but I'm going to love them through what they're walking through. And so I started to learn different things with that. And what was amazing was over time I began to, God just kept teaching me different things, seeing the miraculous side of things. And then over the years I was like, you know, I'm trying to find out, God, what is my purpose at VIU? Because you know what, I started in engineering. Didn't find out that I didn't want to do that. And then what happened was I go into sport health and physical education. I love the program where it's like kinesiology. You study human movement. And so we're looking at human movement and all this stuff like the physiology, the human anatomy of the body, and I'm blown away by it. God's teaching me things that the teacher's not teaching me through it in a way. Like, you know, they teach on the blood, and I'm learning about God's blood as I'm being taught about it. And it was just amazing little things like that. But I was so passionate about my program. I absolutely loved it. But I was like, God, I don't feel like you're calling me into the classroom. I don't feel like you're calling me to go into teaching. And I don't feel like you're calling me into physical therapy or athletic therapy. That was something on my heart. Like, I love sports. So I was like, man, if I can be involved with like sports teams and help them with like therapy and injuries and stuff like that, that'd be really cool. But I was just like, I just don't feel like that's where it is. And so I'm like praying, God, what's my purpose? Why am I here at VIU? Why? And so this was like over 2 years ago, and God eventually spoke to my heart. He's like, Joel, you're here for revival. That's why you're here. And it was just like, okay, well, like, there's different things that over time God began to speak to me, and I'm like, okay, I kind of get what you're saying here. Has anyone had it where God's spoken something, and you're like, okay, I get it, but I don't get it? Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely me. I'm like, he's sharing these things with me about my leadership or sharing things about my identity. And I'm like, oh, this is really cool. I share things about VIU. I'm like, wow, I kind of get it, but I don't get it. I'm like, okay, God, like, this is really cool. Like, I'm actually called to be at VIU. And then over a year and a half ago, God kind of just brought it to this moment where it was just like he unveiled it. And it was so cool because a year and a half ago, during the season of Lent, so it was like, I guess, the end of February or the beginning, middle of February, and the season of Lent is a 40-day period that it's you're called to pray and fast. And I'm there with one of the leaders, actually with Dia. And it was amazing because, like, she asked me a question, and it was funny. She's like, Joel, do you feel like you've done what you're supposed to do? Like, I have 1 year left of school. She's like, do you feel like you've done what God's called you to do on campus? And I, it humbled me. I was like, no, I don't feel like I have done what I was supposed to do here on campus. And there was a dream or like a bit of a vision that a friend had given me just earlier that year. And it was just like, there was a part to it that just happened in that moment that I was reminded of it, and it happened. And there was a sense of urgency that hit my heart. And God was just like, the time is now, Joel. The time is now to kind of in a way step up and step into who you're called to be. And it was amazing as I received that, God began to bring a group of us together, and he began to speak to us about revival. And it was crazy. He's like, it's not just for VIU. He was speaking about VIU for us, but also for this island. Is anyone here hungry for revival? Yeah? Yeah, I want to see this island saved. Right? I hope that's your guys' hearts too. And it's like, because if your heart is just for like, you know, for 10 people, I'm sorry, that's not big enough. God wants you to think bigger than that. He wants you to have to rely on him. Right? And so let your heart start with Lady Smith and let it grow. Right? And so it was amazing. So he began to speak about revival, and it was intense, because in this time he started to bring us together, and I began to actually see a little bit more, walk in this place of rest. Has anyone been in a place where they really feel like they've just stepped into who God's created them to be, and it was just like this place of rest? Everything became easy. Well, it's like that's what kind of happened, and it was crazy, because in my day, I was still working with Quality Foods at the time. I would go to work, and I'm there, and I'm actually working in the dairy section. I'm putting things out, and this gentleman walks by, and he's got like kind of like a curved back, and he's on he's got his buggy, and he's pushing it. And I just started conversation with him, like, "Hey, how are you doing? Like, what's going on?" And I had wanted to pray for him for a long time, but I never got to it. And what happened was, I started a conversation with him, and I'm just like, "How's your week been?" He's like, "Not good." And I really felt my heart got like, dig deeper into his week. I was like, "You know, how come? What's going on?" He's like, he's like, "My lung collapsed," or "I had a collapsed lung this past week, and I nearly died." A little scary. And so I was just like, "Oh my gosh, like, well, like, you know, can I pray for you?" And he was like, "Absolutely." And so I prayed for him, and like it ended up leading to different encounters with him where I kept seeing him at different points, but he was a Jehovah's Witness. But I just got to like have influences in his life and pray with him and get to talk with him at different points, random points where I just kept running into him. But it was amazing, because it wasn't just that one point in my day. Literally, there were so many things that God kept lining up in my day. I wasn't even trying. And I just walk through, and next thing you know, I see someone else, and I felt so comfortably myself, because I didn't have to try to have a conversation and make it work. Has anyone kind of struggled through like conversation with people? You're like, "Oh, what do I say? What do I do?" Yeah, I've had that many points of times, absolutely. But at this point, I was like, man, it was so easy for me. I was just like going around, I was talking with people, and I just like, I knew, because like Holy Spirit was leading me where I needed to go with this conversation. And it was amazing, because how God was able to bring it back to him every time. And there was a gentleman there, and I'd known his sons from high school. I had no idea if he'd ever been to church, but I really felt my heart. God's like, I want you to talk to him, and I want you to like ask him when the last time he went to church. And so I'm just in a conversation with him, and I asked him, "Hey, when was the last time you've been to church?" And he's like, "It's been a long time." And I just started to encourage him and speak life into him. I was like, "Man, God's calling you to come back." And just little things like that, and I even seen that same day a professor from VIU. I saw him at Quality Foods, and he was actually sick, and like he wasn't feeling well. I was just like, you know, I kind of known him a little bit. He's a Christian professor, but I was just like, "Okay, what's going on? You know, he's got this flu or whatever." And I was like, "Okay, well, let's pray right in Quality Foods. Let's pray right here." Next, I'm working. I've been lucky. I've been kicked out of work from that. Anyway. Lots of favor there. I've prayed for like almost all my staff, so don't worry about it. So they kind of know my ways. But I pray for him right there, and he's just like, "Oh my gosh, Holy Spirit's just on him." And that, like, he tells me, like, when I see him next, it's like literally the next day, he's like, he was completely good. Just like that. And so it was just these things, day after day after day, where it was just things were easy. And I think in my mind, though, I had this thought of, "Oh, I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to do this thing, and I'm going to mess up. I'm going to sin somehow, or I'm going to do something. I'm going to mess this up." Has anyone kind of thought that way? Of like, you know, things are going good, and you're just like, "Man, I'm just going to mess things up." Bad train of thought. That's not God. God wants us to be able to rest in him. When it, like Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest." But then this is the important thing. You come to him, and you receive that rest, but then he's like, "Hold on, take my yoke upon you. and my burden for it. It's light and it's easy. But then he says something, and then learn from me. So what I think oftentimes what happens is that we go to God, and we're like, God, we need rest. And we go there, and we receive rest. But then we actually don't take his burden and his yoke upon our life, and we don't actually take some time to learn from him. Because when we learn from him, we're actually able to stay in that rest. And so what happened was when it just felt like it was so easy for me in that season just to kind of be authentically me, I began to have this train of thought being like, oh, I'm going to mess things up. Like I'm going to sin, I'm going to do something. And that kind of worked myself out of rest. Instead of actually me coming to God and sitting at his feet and being like, hey, God, teach me. Teach me to be your son. And I think that's something really important for us is that one thing that I've touched on at UCM a couple weeks ago was this difference between sonship versus leadership. Because our vision is to equip students to be Christian leaders. Well, you know, leadership is important. We want people to step into roles of leadership. We want to see them get involved in those ways and grow. But we need to know where we get our identity from. And if we get our identity from what we do and the things that we have from our works, we're performance-based. And what happens is then we kind of, when things aren't going as well, when we're not doing so great, when we mess up, what happens is we don't do so well, right? And I've had it at points where, many of points where it's just like, you know, because I've been praying for people and seeing them healed, and then, you know, times you don't see them healed, then you like start questioning yourself. And it's not meant for that. That shows me that my heart was starting to become performance-based. It's not about performance. God doesn't want to see how well you can do with healing people or all these things. He's like, I want you to know that you're my son or daughter. And so it's important for us to really catch that. To be a son and daughter of God is of the utmost importance with God. It's not based on the works or the things that you do. It's amazing that I can stand before you and share. I can share tons of stories of people being healed of different things, of tons of stuff, seeing people get restored. But I'm like, it's not about works. It's not about that, right? And so it's like we need to make sure that our identity comes from being his son. And that's where I think my life really had first began to change, when that identity kind of shift happened, where it was just like, wow, okay, God, you've actually forgiven my sin. We need to know as a son that we're forgiven, as a daughter, that he's like, I purchased your sin. I purchased all this stuff. And he's like, I will remember it no more. It needs to start there. And because when that happened, what was amazing was that I began to kind of experience a little bit of the love of God. And in 1 Timothy 1:5, if I can have you guys flip there, if you have your Bible with you. 1 Timothy 1:5. The purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a genuine faith. So that's pretty huge there. My purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, one, and two, a clear conscience, and three, a genuine faith. And during that time that God was restoring my life, there was this highlighting that he was doing in my life of the love of God, that he was really pointing me to when I was really digging into relationship with him. And even in scripture, you know, 1 Corinthians 13 talks about what is love. It's patient, it's kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, all these amazing things that it is. And then it also talks about in Romans 5, and it says verse 8, he's like, what there is the Holy Spirit will pour his love into your heart. And it was just like, oh my gosh, okay, so I'm supposed to have the love of God within my heart. But I was like kind of challenged in this way of, well, what love is exactly what it said in 1 Corinthians 13, but I don't see all that in my life, right? Has anyone looked at 1 Corinthians 13 and seen like, okay, well, maybe I'm good with patience, I'm good with being kind, but like, man, I'm bad with keeping records of being wronged, all these things. I'm like, yeah, that was definitely me. That is still at points definitely me. I look at that, but I was like, hey, God, if this is what love is, something needs to change. You need to do some work in my heart. And so what I found was that as I began to pursue him, I'd lay my heart before him. I'm like, God, okay, do whatever you want to do so that my heart's not the same. And I found that as he had washed my conscience clean from the sin of my past, it was amazing the freedom that kind of came from that, because I was no longer looking backwards. And it's important that we know that. It's that, like, if he says, like, he's no longer going to remember our sin anymore, that's totally gone. And so something that's important, I'll have you guys flip to Philippians 2. Flip to Philippians. I like puns, so that was a good one. Chapter 3. Philippians 3 and chapter 12. So right before this, like, Paul's talking about, like, the priceless value of knowing Christ. It's like, he's like, in comparison to the things of life, he's like, knowing Christ, like, everything else is garbage compared to that. And so, and then he says right after in verse 12, I don't mean to say that I have already obtained these things, or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. And so it's important with there, what Paul is saying is, like, even the good things he's forgetting, but even his past, like the bad things, he's like, I forget what's behind. It's important. We go through repentance with God with our sins, and we receive his forgiveness. But then he washes it away, and he's like, we forget what's behind so that we press on forward. Because I've found at different points in my walk, and even as of late, it's so easy that if we get wrapped up in sin that we look backwards and we're focused on what is bad, what's not good. And God's like, I've dealt with that. I paid for that. And we can't forget that. And so when you understand and really catch that by his blood, he's washed our consciences clean. When I caught that, I was like, oh my gosh, like, okay. When I caught that in that season, it was like, wow, I'm free from my sin. He bought my sin. And then from that, what happened was I was like, well, at that time I was struggling very heavily with pornography at that time. I was completely set free from that. And it was amazing because through that, God began to purify my heart and my mind. And so what it says in 1 Timothy 1:5, it's saying, the goal of my command is love, which comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a sincere faith, or a genuine faith. And my faith was genuine. And I began to experience in that time, when I was with God, because my past was wiped away, because my heart was being purified in him, and my faith was genuine, I began to experience that immense love in my heart, where it drove me to my knees because I was weeping for people that didn't know God. Because something God branded on my heart a long time ago, years ago, was John 17:3. It's eternal life to know him, not to know about him. And so I was drawn to my knees and weeping because there are many people in this world that can know about him but don't truly know him. And he wants you to know his love, to experience his love, but then with that, to love others. And so my encouragement for you guys tonight is that don't limit God with what he can do. God will use you so powerfully, and he wants you to catch. Jesus said, the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. He's like, the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I've taught this to people, is that, so God wants you to love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he wants, the second one is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. If you love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you'll actually begin to fall in love with you because you see your value. You see who he created you to be. And as you see your created value, you're able to love others as you love yourself, because now you love yourself with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So then you see their created value and you love them with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that's what Jesus said, is that the way that you'll know my disciples is for their love for each other. And so my encouragement for you guys tonight is allow God to continue to reveal and encourage you in his love and reveal his love to you so that you can love those around you. Because that's what's going to change this island. That's what's going to change Ladysmith, is you guys loving them past their sin. Because people don't need to know how, like, you know, we don't need to judge them. We need to love them. They need to know that they're loved because they don't know anything else.